In this service, Father, we come here for you, Lord. We come here for only you, Father, for worshiping you, for experiencing you, Father. And as we enter into the word today, Father, I pray that you would just be with us, that you would be in our hearts, Father, that you would pour your spirit out, Lord. We want an experience, Lord, with you. We want to commune with you on a personal level, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's worship.
Life is is shining through.
Watching us on YouTube or live stream or Facebook Live, great to have you. Or whether you're live here, yay, it's great to have you here. Wednesday night, we had our largest attendance since coming back into the building on a Wednesday night. How about that? Almost back to pre-COVID levels. How about that? Ooh, isn't that great? Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, I know it's still a problem out there. I get it. But let's take a moment and let's pray together. We want to pray for our president and Melania. We want to pray for them today. And thankfully, Vice President Pence and wife, last I knew, did not have COVID. But let's just pray for them this morning, and we'll pray for the election as well. Amen? Come on, pray with me. Lord, we follow the instructions of Paul to Timothy to pray for those in authority. And we think of President Trump and Melania. Lord, I do pray that they would quickly recover, God, to complete in full strength with any residual issue. We trust you for that, Lord. And God, as I watched that crazy, almost spontaneous prayer rally outside the hospital last night, it was amazing to watch it. And Lord, help us to be a praying people, regardless of where we stand politically. Help us to be that. We just trust you that you'll keep your hand upon Vice President Pence and his wife, and that, Lord, that they'll be healthy as well. And God, it's only a month away. And Lord, we don't put our confidence in much of anything except you. And so help us, Lord, in this next month. God, help us to think through the issues and all the rest, and help us to vote wisely, appropriately, in a way that honors you. God, help us not to be fastened on one thing, but pleasing you and doing what is best. We trust you for this. And God, may the outcome of the election be absolutely clear, and God, not legitimately contested. May it be clear. God, for all of our sakes, we pray. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. I encourage you to pray that way. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated, friends. It's great to have all of you here. Thank you, worship band. Appreciate you guys so very, very much. Hallelujah. Yeah, you want to applaud for them? Yeah, go for it. That's a good thing. They work hard. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, they're here leading you in worship. Hallelujah. That's a great thing. If you're visiting today, we just really so glad that you're here. And there's two ways to connect with us. We really don't think you're here by happen chance or you just happened to stumble in here. No, we really believe that God brought you here. We believe that coming here, that God is going to use this church to help you grow spiritually. And guess what? He wants to use you to bless this place too and others. So great ways to connect with us. You can do the paper route. You can go to our information center. You can fill that out. They have a gift for you there. If you would prefer to do it contactlessly and digitally, when you're online, you can do it like this too. Text the word welcome to that number. And then what happens is this. When you do that, a link comes back. Press on the link. Fill out a quick little digital card. And that send that in. That completes the process. Then we're connected. That's a good thing. So I hope that you will do that. We like to applaud around here. So if you're visiting, we will just applaud. And just our way of saying welcome and good morning. Hallelujah. Great to have you here. Great to have you here. We're gonna move right into honoring the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And I'll never forget when, there's a famous scripture, a favorite scripture of mine is behind me here, about a manager is entrusted with an incredible responsibility, and he, she must prove themselves faithful in the execution of that. That's been a favorite scripture that's guided my life. And it has a lot to do with giving. When God resources you, he says, look, everything I give you, it actually belongs to me, but I'm giving it to you to manage for me. So when you tithe, you're actually just giving back to him what already belongs to him, right? When you give offerings, you're only giving back to the Lord what's already his that he gave to you in the beginning. It's like when your child, you say, hey, could you give me a dime? Well, where did that child get the dime? They got it from you, didn't they? You don't really need the dime, but you need the heart and the teaching of generosity, right? That's what, and as we give, that's the power of giving, tithes and offerings. It's been a discipline that's been part of my life for since I became a Christian. I encourage you, if you don't practice that or you're not faithful in that, learn to be a faithful manager and trust the Lord with his money. Amen? And then he does a real funny thing. He goes, hey, I can trust him. Here's more. Right? That's what he does. Here's more to manage for me. When he finds a faithful manager, he gives him a promotion. Right? That's what he does. There's lots of ways to give. You can go out the kiosk out in the narthex. You can do that. You can go online. You can go to Seaport's webpage. You can text to give. Lots of opportunities, lots of ways to give. And please understand that this church, the only way that this church is supported is by us. There's not an outside entity. There's no one big person somewhere that supports this church. It's us. Amen? Amen? We support what God is doing here. So thanks for being very, very, very faithful. I appreciate that. Andy's going to come right now with an announcement. Andy's one of our deacons, and he is coming right now. He and the deacons have asked us, Pastor Debbie and myself, to step out. So I'm going to step out, and I'm going to trust him. He's not going to do something crazy, blow the church up. Yeah, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
All right, Pastor Brad. Thank you. So I'm going to wait for Pastor Debbie to also step out. Thank you, Pastor Debbie. Thank you so much. All right, so... yeah, let's shut that door, too. So I don't want them to hear anything that I'm going to say next. So, all right. So good morning, everybody. If you didn't know, this is the month of October, and it's also the National Month of Pastor Appreciation. So we're going to do that. We're going to do a special presentation, me and the deacons, and all of us together on Sunday the 18th, okay? But so just be prepared. That's 2 weeks from now. We're going to have a table outside. So if you have notes you want to write them, cards, gifts, anything like that, there'll be a table to place that on. We're going to take up a special offering to bless our pastors for all that they've done and do, continue to do. But we're going to also do something special, a presentation. I need your help with this. We're going to do, if you've ever seen cardboard testimonies, you ever seen it when somebody holds up a cardboard and then they flip it over and it's something that Christ did in their life? We're going to do that with a twist, okay? What I need help with, though, we're going to do it in appreciation for the ministry and the lives poured out by Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie. So we're going to, if your life was impacted by this ministry here, if your life was impacted by them, what was the effect of that? And we want a 5 to 7 second video of you just holding up, not to flip it, just what the effect was, and then a simple thank you. Thank you. You know, my husband was saved at this church. My husband was saved. My family learned about God here. What did Seaport and the ministry that Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie poured out their lives to start this church, worked here for decades, what has the effect of Seaport been in your life? Could you do that for me? Could you take a 5 to 7 second video? If you do that, I'm going to be outside. You've got to make it out the door without me stopping you. No, so sign up. And I'm going to get a sign-up list just for commitments. The deadline for sending in the short video, you stage it. We're going to make sure the poster board you hold up right is going to be legible. It's going to be big, written, clean. And then you're going to send that video in. You know, if you put it on iCloud or Google Drive, we're going to send it to, make note of this, office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. So if you're joining us online, you can participate too. If it's somewhere around the world, I know Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie have poured their lives out. People around the world have been changed by the work of Christ through this ministry. You can send your videos, and we'd love to get them, and we're going to put them together. We're going to make that presentation something that would encourage them for the rest of their lives, the lives you guys change. That's what really makes an impact on them, is to see the lives change through this place. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's do it together. Thank you. And oh, if you're hungry, get ready, because it's coming to the Bible right now. There you go.
Hot dogs, chips, soda, Gatorade, water, ketchup, mustard, popcorn. Okay. Oh. Good morning, Seaport. I'm Jessica McGargle. I'm the director of our student ministries here, and I just wanted to welcome our visitors. Yeah, good. Welcome. Okay. So, oh, I'm in a hot dog costume. Oh, mom brain is such a real thing. All right, so let me explain why I'm wearing this. So we have October 23rd is going to be our family fun night. So it's not just a movie night. We have a big thing planned. We have a costume parade. We have a hot dog stand benefiting Ignite Student Ministries, hence the hot dog. It's vegan, by the way, Sherry. We have a drive-in movie featuring Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and it's free to attend. The hot dog stand is donation only. The parking lot will open at 5:45. The parade starts at 6:15. No scary costumes, please. Each child receive a responsibly packaged bag of candy. And the movie will start promptly at 6:30. So here's what we need from you. If you have any candy donations and you can bring them in this week, there will be a bin in the narthex, and you can drop them right in. And we hope to see you there.
Wow. I don't dare say anything after that, but okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jessica. That's kind of crazy. Hallelujah. There's lots of opportunities around here. That's, of course, obviously one of them. And you, if you came in earlier, you saw the little quick trailer on the series that we're in on Wednesday nights, Drive Through History, where we're giving you just some background of the book of Acts. It will cause that book to come alive as you read it. And many of you have been very appreciative of that. So that's what we're doing. And we discussed it just a little bit. It's a lot of information, that's for sure. But Jonathan, why don't you come up here right now and join me? And this is actually, I just realized this, this is actually National Royal Rangers Week. Royal Rangers is a ministry that we have on Wednesday nights for boys, phenomenal program that I believe in wholeheartedly. Now, Jonathan, I know we got to kind of stay socially distanced and all that good jazz. Here, grab this microphone. Grab that microphone. And first of all, okay, tell us, it's great to have you guys back, but tell us in your day-to-day life, I know, I'm getting close now, aren't I? I'm so used, I know some of you are laughing at that, but okay. Okay, I'll stand over here. I'll talk like this. Is that all right? If you haven't guessed, I'm not an anti-masker, but I really have a struggle with the whole mask thing. You know, I always forget. So thanks for laughing because that reminded me. But so Jonathan, in your workaday world, what do you do? You know, what do you do in your workaday world? First of all, tell us that.
I am an officer in the United States Coast Guard. I'm an attorney, so I'm a judge advocate is the term for a military attorney. And currently, in my current position, I teach as a professor at the United States Coast Guard Academy. So I teach law to the cadets there.
And we were talking, and that's a new role for you. I mean, you know, I'm teaching cadets, so that's a good stretch point. But you guys came back to Seaport, and you immediately stepped right back into Royal Rangers on Wednesday night. Why are you involved in leading Rangers on a Wednesday night,
so teaching our boys? There's three things, and it goes along with the theme that we have for this year of faith, family, and friends. Faith-wise, when Jesus called Peter and John to be his disciples, he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, how do we fish for other people? How do we fish for men? Well, we do it by being disciples. And in order to do that, not only do we have to follow Jesus, but we have to teach others how do you be a disciple. And Royal Rangers and our other programs here on Wednesday nights for the kids helps us to do that, right? Yeah. We can teach others to be disciples, to follow Christ. And we do that for the young boys. When it comes to family, just like in our family, doesn't it make you really feel good when you help out a family member? When they are in need and you can really reach out and provide a service that they need, right? It helps you grow stronger and it helps them. And I do that here at Seaport because we are in need of leaders. Right. We are in need of people to come and help out and to teach these young children how to be disciples of Christ. And then finally, friends, I do it because it's a lot of fun, right? We get to teach all kinds of crazy camping skills, right? We get to build fires and burn things, right? We get to roast food. We get to, you know,
safely,
cook things
safely, yes.
But we teach the kids, you know, how to build snares, how to camp safely, how to throw knives and tomahawks appropriately and safely, but all kinds of neat things that young kids, you know, they spend a lot of time playing video games. I know this because I teach these cadets, right? And they just came from that world of high school and stuff like that. So a lot of people just, you know, screen time. It's the screen time generation. Right. Everybody's looking at their phones. Well, we don't spend a lot of time in front of the screen in Royal Rangers, right? We're out. We're learning wilderness skills, survival skills. And we're also learning how can we become better Christians and how can these boys stand up for their faith when they face pressures that this world brings. And I know that you know we are facing and our children are facing a lot of pressures and a lot of stressors in their lives these days.
Can you think of, and we so appreciate that because it's just such a powerful program. Can you think, is there a quick story you want to share with us about something you've seen in your Ranger leadership experience? Is something that you think has been meaningful, helpful to you? I mean,
To me, absolutely. So I really enjoy when we do at least once a year, sometimes twice, we get together with all of the other regional churches in the area, and we have a huge camping event called Ranger Fest. And then we also do another one in wintertime as well. So you get to come together with all of these other Christian leaders and all of these Christian boys, right? And you get to share that experience and that love of Jesus Christ. And that has just really helped me grow in my faith. It's helped me become a stronger man. And it helps me remember, right, when I'm having to learn this stuff to teach these boys, it reminds me I need to set the example as well, right? So it helps me be a better father, I hope, and a better husband. And a better leader. So it makes me grow in my faith as well. So that's been a personal benefit to me.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that. Woo! All right, let me take that microphone. Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate that. And ministry to boys is more important than it's ever been in our culture. And so that's one of the reasons why we do it. And it's just a great skill-building opportunity. And if you're here and you say, I'd like to, you can talk to Matt, you can talk to Jonathan about getting your boys involved in that. or maybe you are interested in maybe stepping in and exploring leadership. The journey that we're about to begin, some of you are about to begin, is a very simple step, and that step is taking Activate that I'm going to teach, and I'm going to teach it a week from tonight. You can do it. You can come to the church, and you can participate live, or you can do it on Zoom, and it will be live with you on Zoom, and you'll interact with me on Zoom. It's very different. It's set up very different this time, but you'll see an opportunity, and you'll get notifications how to sign up for that, and That's the first step to really help you discover who God has made you to be, your gifts, your talents, spiritual gifts, how all that integrates and how to step into this journey. And so I hope that you'll do that. Okay, so there's a couple of things there for you. Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate that so very, very much. Sign up, be part of Activate, and begin the journey to being involved in any kind of place at Seaport. Or if you want to step in and get your boys involved, you can talk to Jonathan or talk to Matt, too, or contact the office. All right. So here we go. We begin this brand new series. Come on, Chris. Chris is kicking off the series and Supernatural. So here's real quick, like, when Seaport was started 32 years ago, one of the driving aspects of his vision was to be a place, this is one of the components, be a place that would help military men and women not only have a place for their families to be a home away from home, but it would be a place to help those men and women who felt called into ministry take some steps forward. That was one of the driving vision components here. Chris is about to retire from the military. He's a chief that works at the hospital. He's looking at leaving the military and going into ministry. And so we are... So this is a training church, and so he's ready to go. He's worked real hard on this message. He's kicking off the series Supernatural. Chris?
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Good morning, Seaport.
Good morning.
How is everybody doing this morning? All right. Like Pastor Brad said and James said earlier, we are off to the races on this new series, Supernatural. Can you imagine what church would look like if it looked like this? Like bright lights, lots of excitement, some pre-COVID entertainment. But what if there was a tangible cloak that was preventing us from seeing what's back there? What if it was keeping us away from what was right and true and unseen to the naked eye? You know, what if we were able to just kind of peel back the curtain and see into the spiritual realm? I think that we would be surprised and shocked at what we see. So let's take a look and see what really happens in the unseen world around us. Strap in.
Go, 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 go!
Go, go!
Push, push, push!
Go!
Go! Go!
This is our takeover. We're moving to the room as well.
Wow. That was pretty intense, right? It probably has you asking yourself a lot of questions like, am I ready for that? You know, I think what amazes me the most is our ability to not see. And what do I mean by that? You know, when I had gotten back from a deployment to Afghanistan, I got back home and I was talking to one of my friends and I told him that I had just come back from being away for a year. And he was like, wow, Afghanistan? We're still there? You know, a couple of days later, my wife and I, we were out and everybody around us was partying and drinking and having a great time. And all I could think about was, man, they don't have any idea that we're at war right now. They have no idea that there are folks out there protecting their freedom so they can just live their lives however they want to. They had no idea. You know, as a culture, we have embraced that the seen, that the tangible, is our ultimate truth. And about 15 years ago, if you remember, when you turned on the news, you couldn't get away from the war in Iraq. But today, most people are focused on the election, the infection, but they are missing the fact that there is still this war going on in the background. It's the age-old sentiment that if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. Or if I just choose to ignore it, then it won't bother me, it won't affect me. But that's just simply not true. You see, we are on common ground here. Back in the days of the church at Ephesus, they didn't see either. And the Apostle Paul, he tells us, and he told them about the battleground of life. In Ephesians 6:12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." I mean, what happens if we remain asleep? If this goes unchecked, if we don't prepare and surround ourselves with the right tools, how will we know to recognize it, to react to it, and then to lean into it? You see, here Paul is talking about the battlefield and the spiritual warfare that takes place on it. He transitions from the end of Ephesians 5 into chapter 6 with a challenge. He challenges us to be united and what that looks like. And interestingly enough, he starts off with a tribute to the first family and how those relationships should be guided. He talks about the structure and what it looks like. He says it should be solid, together, and linked. It's almost like there's some common themes here. Perhaps it's because we are divinely enabled, but it still requires us to have human cooperation. It's seen all throughout the Bible. Even look at the most recent event that we had here at our church, right? We had the Back to Church Sunday, and the motto was "Stronger Together." In Ecclesiastes 4, it says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Alone, you can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." You see, in Ephesians 6, he says, we need it all. But what does that actually mean? Do you remember my oblivious friend and those that were carrying on that night? Most don't even recognize that we're on the battlefield right now. If we're to maintain our freedom, we have to acknowledge that there is a battle and that we're already engaged in warfare. We need to embrace the mindset that there is an invisible, spiritual realm, and it requires us to take action. It's crystal clear. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're on the field of battle. And life can never go back to the way it looked before. Don't get me wrong. It's not all doom and gloom. I love hanging out with my family. Nothing makes me happier than playing basketball with my oldest, or I'm actually a little embarrassed to say, when my daughter wants me to do some kind of crazy face peel, or if my youngest wants to kick my butt in a video game, which happens every time. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Fortnite, but I just can't seem to beat that kid. He's running and jumping and building and shooting, and I'm like, he crushes me. You know, but we cherish those fun times, those memories. Such lighthearted fun and making memories. These are the peaks of our mountains, especially when we have that carefree feeling with our friends and family because of those deep connections when everything is going well. However, we have valleys too. There will be tough times and anguish. You know, I say to my kids, it's not always going to be candy canes and rainbows. I mean, come on, raise your hand if you've ever heard that life was described as bittersweet. Who's heard that term? Right? It's sweet because we embrace and cherish the good times, right? But there are those bitter moments that bring us to tears. The hurt is so intense that we can't handle it, that the pain is so strong. So hence we have these beautiful peaks and these horrible valleys. Think about it. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Now, I don't just mean the normal ups and downs, like, oh, I'm getting pulled here and there, I have to go over here. I'm talking about really overwhelmed. That is what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about when you're under a major attack, when the adversary is relentless, when you feel like your world is shattered and you're just being ripped apart, when your dreams are being destroyed, and when your hope, it's at its lowest. Paul says, when that day comes, and make no mistake, it will come. When you are under a major offensive, he wants to prepare you. He wants to ready you for battle. Because it is then that you will need the strength of the Lord. You see, if we look back at verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You are going to need the supernatural. We cannot do it alone. We have to have the supernatural. Thankfully, he doesn't leave us stranded, that he equips us to face these challenges with faith and confidence. How can he equip us to recognize and to react in the spiritual realm? Remember, everything visible and physical is preceded by what is invisible and spiritual. So Paul wants us to know, how do we address such visible and physical struggles? And when the attacks are on our life, we need to do it from a perspective of the invisible and the spiritual. Because if we look back into verse 12, he uses the term heavenly places. And the heavenly places are the spiritual realm. They are the unseen battlefield. Paul is saying, when you're under an assault, when your life is being shattered and you're trying to walk with God, but you know what happens. We all know what happens. It becomes difficult. And then the attacks, they just keep coming. When your dreams, they just don't matter anymore. When your health, it's failing. And the doctor doesn't have an answer. What about when your stability is being attacked? When your resources, they keep getting taken away no matter what you do. When your future looks so grim that you can't even see the light anymore. When you're just completely and utterly lost. Paul says, the first thing I want you to understand is that you're not fighting against flesh and blood. In other words, your spouse, your neighbor, your friends, your kids, they're not the source of your problems. Now, don't get me wrong, anyone that has children knows that they can cause you some problems. But they aren't the source of your problems. Friends, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in a dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So when you're under the fire, when you're under the attack of the enemy and the adversary has his army against you, Paul says that you need to stand your ground. Stand your ground where Jesus Christ has suffered for you. Stand your ground where Christ died for you. That is your strength. You only need to grab a hold of it. Unfortunately, what happens? All too often, because of fear, you forget to grab on. What happens when people drown? When you start drowning, they're like, oh my God, they're grabbing for everything. They're grasping for every last breath. They're just trying to grab onto anything that makes them feel good. I urge you, when you're in the midst of the heaviest battle, when all you want to do is run, to run to God. We know what happens. We know what happens when you run away. What happens? You isolate yourself. You come over here and you set up your camp to protect yourself. You put your walls up to protect yourself. You build your fortress to protect yourself. And then you got somebody else, they're over here. They're doing the same thing. But that's what he wants. He wants us to be segregated. He wants us to be separated in our own prisons. He wants us to be alone. When you are fully engaged in spiritual warfare and under the attack, this is not the time to run. This is the time to be cradled in his arms. Like a child that runs to a parent when they're scared. Just like every time I see Tuffy, she runs to Robert and she gets behind him because she's scared because Big Chris is coming. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your struggle, stand firm and hold on to your faith and the strength in the Lord Jesus. Now let's make no mistake about it. Sometimes This battlefield is littered with landmines that we've created ourselves. You know, when the enemy's on a break and the party looks much more enjoyable, when all of the feel-good things are happening and it's better or it feels better to do the wrong things, listen, you're not alone. We've all been there. We've all struggled. But what happens when your own choices are not from the dark forces? How do we protect ourselves from ourselves? Did he give us a safety net? God provides a way out. I'm fairly certain that I preached on this. I'm pretty sure it was my exactly last sermon. On 1 Corinthians 10:13, kind of funny how they ran into each other. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, and you will be, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Remember, he won't give you more than he can handle. When the temptation has led us down a road that we don't want to be on, when we're constantly missing the mark, when all we're doing is trying to go to the thing that makes us feel better, even if it's the wrong thing, or even if we're on a road that we don't think we're strong enough to get off of, it is then that we need to look at the pillars in our life. Those family members and those friends were put here to adhere to the same biblical standards. Because no matter what landmines are out there, he gives us a way. He gives us pillars of strength in the body of Christ so that we have that. All we have to do is listen and obey. In Proverbs 3, he tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding, right? That's where we get lost a lot. We try to make our own understanding of everything and not listen to what others have to say. But seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We need to let him sharpen us. He continues to tell us in Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses of the enemy. And again, in Proverbs 17, probably my favorite verse, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Not only does he protect us, but he also prepares us. And in during those times, after you've recognized where the source is, you're going to need to be strong to walk through these troubling times. Because the troubling times are here and you're not going to get a free pass. In order to do that, you have to be prepared. And how do we prepare? We have to train. I don't know, and you might be very surprised at the amount of training that happens just a few miles down the road, right? I think everyone knows we're fairly close to a military base. Has everyone or anyone ever heard of the term LARPing? Or how about SLARPing? Or submarine live action role play? A big amen to my submarine brothers out there. Essentially, the entire crew gets on board and we walk through all the mundane details of how to get underway. In fact, I told the replacement from my first boat that we actually submerged the submarine right next to the pier. We don't actually do that. Or do we? I mean, listen, we don't ever send a warship to sea without hours and hours and hours and hours of preparation. I mean, we even have a procedure on how to flush the toilet. Never mind doing immediate action drills. You see, we practice things until they're so ingrained in our muscle memory that we will just instinctively react the right way. But no amount of preparation will ready you until you're tested. You know, all the theory in the world doesn't help you unless you have experience. Think about it. Any medical provider that goes through some kind of training, they get a bunch of theory, right? But you see, it's not until that theory is actually practiced and they are tested hands-on that they really learn to apply what they know. Anybody ever been on Captain Seth's boat? I know there's more of you out there. Listen, docking a boat is probably the most stressful experience, especially if you're trying to dock a boat as a husband and a wife. But let me tell you, Seth backed that boat up through the pylons like it was smooth, smooth like butter. But he didn't just read about it, right? He didn't just read about it and expect to perfect it, just like our prayer life. You have to read your Bible and practice it until you've mastered it. And then once you've mastered it, you have to continually read it and refine it. This helps prepare us for war. Now remember, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. He wants them to know that they are protected, that they are prepared. They need to train. But he also wanted to use something familiar to help them remember. Something distinct that they would immediately recognize. Paul uses the next set of verses to describe to the people at Ephesus what a Roman soldier looked like and how that correlates. It would be distinct, so distinct that they would be as familiar with them as we are with these guys. The precision. You see, whether we're at war or on a parade field, many countries showcase their weapons. They will be recognizable. I mean, all too often when there's a conflict somewhere else in the world, we send a carrier battle group out to that coast to just have a show of power. This is such a display of power. God has done the same thing for us. When you're in a spiritual war, you have to display the weapons of the Lord as he describes them in Ephesians chapter 6. I thought the message captured modern warfare the best. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in going and ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so no one falls behind or drops out. You see, Paul describes these six pieces of our spiritual armor, and every believer is called to utilize it and take a stand. We can't just do one thing, or on the opposite end, do nothing. We are supernaturally enabled, and we must take action. You must put on the truth, the righteousness, and the peace. You need to pick up your faith and don your helmet. But not only that, you need to wield your sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now I get it. That's a lot of stuff to remember. But as I look out here, I see that no one had any problem getting dressed today. Knowing that you're on the field of battle, wouldn't you want to be smart and dressed for success? I know that we're on differing parts of our walk with Christ. Perhaps your muscle memory hasn't kicked in yet. Perhaps you haven't figured out what all the pieces of gear are. Maybe you didn't remember to don every piece of gear that you needed. But you see, in Romans 13:14, Paul says, "Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ." If you remember anything, remember this one thing: put on Christ. Because he says, "I want you to put on the truth." And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Lord says, "I want you to put on righteousness." And the Bible tells us Christ is our righteousness. The Lord says, "Put on peace." And Jesus says, "You will have tribulation, but I will give you peace. I will give you rest." The Lord says, "Put on the helmet," because the scripture is clear that Jesus is the author of our identity. He says to put on the Word of God and use the sword of the Spirit. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus says He is the Word. So if you can't remember the truth, remember Jesus. If you don't remember righteousness, remember Jesus. If you just can't seem to remember peace, remember
Jesus.
If you don't remember faith, remember
Jesus.
If you don't remember to don your helmet, remember
Jesus.
If you don't remember the Bible, remember
Jesus.
Because Jesus is the full armor of God. Until we recognize where the source of evil is, until we prepare, train, and suit up for battle, we will make no real contribution. You see, folks, this isn't just a Sunday battle. It's not just a Wednesday battle. This is an everyday battle. When you put on Christ, you become centered on Him, and you must put Him on all day, every day. Because when the doctors don't have the answer, when your friends don't have the answer, and when you're completely lost and can't find the answer, you need to be centered on one person, Jesus. He has offered you everything. All you need to do is put on His calling. The question is, will you? Will you do it? Let me ask you, which battle are you facing right now? Look inside your heart and say, where am I missing the mark? Where am I falling short right now? Friends, perspective changes everything. We must trust in God. Sometimes God calls us to change our perspective the hard way. Has anybody been there? I know I've been there. It took me to get a 2x4 to the face, proverbial one, and I was a slobbering, blubbering mess on my living room floor to fully accept Jesus into my life. We are in the midst of a war, and we are equipped with what is needed to fight it. So cover yourself with Jesus and put on the full trust and armor of the Lord. As a people, we will no doubt face trials and tribulations. There is a source of our struggles, even if the landmines are created by ourselves. As Christians, we must understand the battlefield. It is our duty as Christ's disciples to stand firm and be confident in our faith, to be pillars for those around us, to rise up and put the full armor of God on. And if you aren't a Christian, it's a simple act of faith, a change in your perspective. All you have to do is accept Christ into your life, to welcome Him into your life, and accept that peace and joy that only He can provide. So if you'd like to invite Christ into your heart today, it's just a simple prayer. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be right here in the sanctuary, you could be online, or it could be months from now. Just say, "Lord, I am a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. I've put the world and myself before You, and I can't do it alone. I need Jesus. I need You to be my Lord and Savior." So if I could have the band come back up. Listen, if you've said that prayer today, I just want to welcome you into the fold. And if you're unsure where to go from here, all you have to do is text the word "new life" to 860-969-2145. Or you can see Pastor Brad or any of us afterwards, because we'd love to connect with you. Now, I'd just like to pray for you real quick. Lord, we humbly come before You, that we come in Jesus' authority, in Jesus' name. Lord, search us. Search us through those areas of our life that we're having difficulty with, those decisions that we've made that are not okay, and bring us back to the right and true path. Lord, I ask this in your name. I can't do it by myself. We can't do it by ourselves. We need you, Lord. And only you can get us through. Amen.
You are not a God created.
Why don't you stand with us as we sing the song and get ready to close.
You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by a plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before.
regardless of what is happening in our experience, you have not changed. You are unshakable. You got it. We are grateful for that. And we are thankful for the spiritual authority and the spiritual weapons that we can defeat spiritual foes with and walk in the victory that you intended. Thank you, Father. Amen, friends.
Amen.
I want to give you a very quick assignment today. That assignment is this. Go back to Ephesians 6. Pull it up on your app, whether it's Bible Gateway or YouVersion or Faith Life or whatever it is, Olive Tree, whatever app you're using. And look up Ephesians 6 and read it in the Message. Chris put it up here. Read it again and just go through it and ask this question. Which of these six weapons do I need to deploy in my life right now? You say, well, I need all six. I didn't say that. I said, pick one. Say that I need to deploy this one right now. I'll talk to you more briefly on that on Wednesday night. Lord, help us to deploy the spiritual weapons to deal with the matters that we are dealing with in our lives right now, we pray. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends. If you're here today and you would like to connect with us, the best way to do that is welcome to that number. If you're committing your life to Christ today for the very first time, just the word new life, one word, same number, and that creates a connection with us. We can kind of go from there. Encourage you, sign up, be part of Activate, and I'll take you through it. It's going to be kind of a fun experience. You're going to like it. And so anyway, hallelujah. I'm going to dismiss you. All those of you that are 65 years of age and older, or you have an immunity issue that you'd like to go first, you can go first. We honor you. You can go first. Always ask you to consider wearing a mask on your way out. Always do that. Those of you that are picking up children, you can go now. Pick them up. They look beautiful when they go home with you. Make sure you're doing that. And then I'm going to... Okay, you're gone. All right. There's coming a day before too long, and I'm not going to have to do this funky dismissal thing, but... Those of you in these two center sections, you guys can go right now. Go ahead. Two center sections. Hallelujah.